Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to another episode of Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. I am the Shane Bacon part of this. The other guy is the Max part of it. Max, what's up?
What's up, man? It's cool to be the Max part of this. This is awesome.
We just did something a day ago that was fun on Saturday, the Regrip show. It's a little bit of what we did about 5 weeks ago, which seems like it was 2 years ago, which we rewatched an old golf event we hadn't seen in a long time. This one, maybe have never seen before, or I don't think I've seen it all the way through, the 96 U.S. Amateur. What were your thoughts after watching it? And really kind of immersing yourself into that championship.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. One of the few, I guess, big Tiger wins that I've just like, I know a decent amount about it, but I never really seen much of the golf. I've seen his eagle and a couple other things, the you know, Steve Scott reminding him to move the mark back. But other than that, I knew very, very little. Fun to watch a golf course that I love, that I've played a lot. What I took away from it is they both played unbelievable golf. I thought Steve played great. He really hit the ball well. Tiger obviously hit it unbelievable. Didn't really make a lot of putts, as we're accustomed to him making everything. He missed a ton of putts. He missed two putts to win that really weren't, in his case, wouldn't have been crazy by any means. But I thought it was cool. Pumpkin Ridge looked great on TV. Super shout out to Cisco, because that, whatever their formatting of the technology to get us both on was drastically different than us propping our iPhones on a tripod and trying to figure out how to get the TV and us in the shot. They did a whole lot better job than we did.
Way to go, media guy! Just got it in right there. I'm surprised you didn't.
Sponsor.
I'm surprised you didn't do the full read. Also, shout out to the USGA who put up that championship online. And we're going to do more of these as we continue to go through quarantine. We've got the 2006 U.S. Open final round this coming Saturday, May 2nd.
Is it really? We get to do it?
Yeah.
Oh,
06,
my.
Baby! This Saturday, May 2nd, 3 p.m. Is it Eastern time or Eastern?
EDT, Shane.
Okay. I'm still confused by
not it. To be confused with ADT, the security system, which is kind of what I thought when I first read it.
Yeah. EDT. We got a shout out for our graphic. And of course we didn't make the graphic.
I had no idea what EDT was. Full disclosure. Had no idea.
It says a lot about you in terms of class that you just said, hey, listen, it takes a big man to say, I don't know.
Listen,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, I know I don't know a lot about a lot, so I had to come clean. I had never ever seen that before, but it makes a lot of sense. And you know, I'll spin it on the positive side. I'm glad I learned something new.
So we had Steve Scott. You mentioned he came on and talked. Him and his wife. Big thanks to them for doing that. They were a part of our rewatching of the 96 Amateur, and we're going to work on having some people to come on for 06 as well. So. If you're doing nothing next Saturday, you're sitting around the house, jump on. You'll see our faces. Max will be smiling. I'll be looking real serious. And then we'll have the beautiful Winged Foot Club behind as our backdrop in the final round of that crazy, epic, up and down, unreal U.S. Open. That should be a lot of fun. Hey, Max, I had this written down all week and didn't really, and had completely forgot about it. I'm so excited to bring it up. Have you seen Golf Digest did a nice guys ranking?
A new one or the old one where I got 29th?
It must have been an old one. Somebody tagged me in it. I didn't realize it was old, but I was shocked, man. You were T29th. There was only top 30 made it. It was like the tour championship. You snuck in there, but 29th seems rather high, man.
Yeah, I don't know who they talk to. I need to get some people on this. I need to get some boots on the ground. You know, we play to win the game, right, Shane? We play to win the game. 29th ain't cutting it. I know there's a lot of nice guys on the list, but man, it hurts a little bit. I guess I gotta start bringing more snacks. I gotta start handing out more waters on the course. I gotta start giving people some better spots that are, you know, way farther up in the hazards.
Do you do
I gotta
the water,
start doing some stuff.
Do you pass waters out to random people?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. somebody struggling or they ask for it or what?
You know, just whenever. That's why I'm better than 29th on this list. Just whatever. You give me a good look, I'll give you a water. It's a pretty easy trade.
So many waters in those coolers.
I'll say this, dude. My first time going to a tour event, knowing a tour player when I was in college, Peter Tomasulo was playing at Pebble. So we drove down and watched him play Sunday. And nothing makes you feel cooler when the tour pro walks over and gives you a water. I'm walking away and you could just feel everybody else looking at us three that were there thinking, who's this guy? Like, how did they know him? And it was awesome.
Yeah, not so much fun if you're the media guy pulling water for the tour player's wife.
He almost got arrested.
And the cop comes over and grabs my arm. Not as much fun there when you're not wearing
cool.
Travis Mathieu head to toe. Yeah. They don't care who you are in that regard. But when you're playing, you got the spikes on.
Waste management. That's the wrong tournament to really do anything.
It's a very fair point. You know, this is quarantine. Max isn't playing any golf. Nobody's traveling. We're sitting at home and we're just waiting this out as everybody else is. I would say the last week, you and I have received maybe the most random media gifts, if you will, of any week I've ever had in my entire life. First, we got those Get a Grip tees, which are not weird at all. Those things are
awesome. Sick.
Shout out to Lewis Ritberger at Stinger Golf. Did an unbelievable job. If you haven't seen him, we'll post him on social on the Get a Grip at Get a Grip Pod Instagram account. But they're beautiful. They got the wraps. They're white, which is important. Max is going to use them on tour. So when Max is leading the U.S. Open by 8, you're going to see the Get a Grip tee go in the ground on the last hole. We also got an office chair.
I'm sitting in it.
Or did you put it together?
Yeah, put it together.
Let me see. I got to look in my little thing. Can you mind doing it?
I didn't do the headrest. I didn't like the headrest.
Can you do a full spin?
Well, all right, let me.
But don't mess the mic up, bro. Oh, nice. Yeah. Missing the headrest, but that's okay. Shout out to my buddy Brady Bouillon, who didn't put his headrests on his Jeep. He bought a Jeep and took all the headrests off. And every time I rode, all I could think was, if you get an accident, let me tell you
something. People who have a Jeep do not care about safety. This is a fact. Accidents just aren't important. So the headrest is the least. They don't have doors on half of those.
It's
things.
A great
so
point.
The headrest would be overkill.
I just always remembered when I was riding with a man. It's not going to be good. Seatbelt's not doing anything for my neck here. But we got these X chair office chairs. They're awesome. Easy to put together. How many minutes to take you to put together?
12 minutes and 50 seconds.
Okay, I said under 13 minutes. I'm proud of you.
I made that number up. I have no idea. Lacey helped me, did most of it, as always.
Lastly, and I haven't given this to you yet. I'm going to give it to you on Monday. Buddy Rusty sent us a bucket. Max, when I say a bucket, you might be thinking of a small range-sized bucket, dude. I'm talking about a bucket of these disinfectant wipes called Vital Oxide. It kills everything, including the coronavirus. Kills the coronavirus. But he sent you and I, out of nowhere, an entire bucket. You could spend your entire life being an absolute OCD clean freak. You are not going to use all these wipes.
Well, that's great. I have now too many because also my buddy started this company called Zen Wipes. I'm not sure how to say it. Got wipes from there. I guess you can't have too many wipes right now. I mean, people are needing some wipes. So I'm lucky to have your bucket full, and then my friends, we'll call it truck full of them.
Those are not sponsor reads, by the way. Those are just
not
the three things.
We're very lucky.
Those are the three things that we have received. So there you go. That to me, that's about week 7 topics to hit on is what you've received in the mail. That would feel like would follow. A topic
I need to get into on my list of favorite Michaels last week. I have a mega omission, and I'll give a reason why. When you presented the idea of our top Michaels, the reason we're doing it is because Michael Jordan, the Last Dance documentary was about to be on. So I was thinking mainly in the sports and the celebrity train of thought. Completely forgot Michael Kroom, who is my brother-in-law. So got some grief about that one. Need to say a big sorry. I don't even know if he listens to this, but I completely whiffed.
Well, he definitely doesn't now.
He definitely doesn't now, which, you know, that's his right. So really love him. Like he's as good a brother-in-law as you could ask for. Like I said, It's tough. I was thinking the Michael Jordans, the Michael Scotts, the Michelangelos, yeah, that people did not think of. The most important Michael in my life, should have probably added that one. Hey, hand up, my bad.
Hey, that happens. That happens. I mean, again, you were thinking, you just always, he's in your top five of names.
Yeah,
right?
Just
he's
names.
In your top 10 of just human. So, you know, that actually is way better than just being close to Michael Scott and Michael Johnson. But yeah, that was on you. I appreciate you wearing that.
Totally on me. There's no excuse for it. Completely my bad.
You had an unreal idea, and I was all in on it. You said, because it's quarantine, what if we did a list of good things that have happened during quarantine, or things, or positive things?
Yeah, like benefits of the quarantine.
Yeah.
Let's spin this thing, everybody.
I like this.
There's got to be something good.
So we are all at home, and we're all, you know, sitting around. There's nowhere to take kids. There's nowhere to go to work. It can be a lot, man. I mean, everybody's has those days, right? Let's talk positively about isolation.
Yeah, come on. I feel like we're getting used to this quarantine. I feel like we might be over the main hump of it, so we could start to try to get our minds in the positive place that we need it to be to get back to work and to get back to all these things. The reason I brought it up was, and this will be my first one, I was thinking about it. I was driving to golf maybe last week. Stopped at a gas station. I finally needed gas. And I thought to myself, man, I have not been here in a while. And I was like, man, that's kind of nice. I haven't been here in a while. Then I thought to myself, oh man, my wife has a car that we've leased and you're only allowed X amount of miles a year. Guess what? We're way under that.
Not ticking those off.
Under that number. So it just made me think. I was like, man, I'm really happy about this. That's something I don't have to worry about. Filling up my tank, the expense has gone way down. Added to the fact that her car will be way under the allotted miles. I feel very lucky about that.
I noticed after you brought this up to me and presented such an unreal idea for a segment here, or a flight, if you will, I thought, I was looking at my feet, and you know, you and I have been able to go out to the golf course because Arizona allows golf.
And our feet can be there as well.
Our feet can go everything. But I would say, for me especially, I'm playing less golf than I would normally play in the March and April time. It's a great time in Arizona to go out and play golf. I would be out there quite a bit. I noticed my golfer's tan.
No
way. I've flattened my golfer tan curve. It's not that bad right now.
Hey, shout out to my caddy, Joe. Joe sent me a picture, and he's got a putting green in his backyard. I'm clearly playing way too well. He's got a putting. I got a mat. But all jokes aside, he's been out there 24/7. He can't play golf in Carlsbad, and I know it's driving him nuts. So he's been putting, grinding, whatever. He still has a horrendous tan line, and he's been wearing sandals back there, and he can't figure it out. I can't either. I'm a little bit. It might be a permanent white foot problem.
Where's your worst golfer tan? Like,
yeah,
where does it hit
feet.
You? It's the feet. Okay.
Although I will say, shaving my legs made me. It becomes even more apparent when the very dark hairs go away and the very light skin starts to break through the cover that it had for so long.
You have a few on the list. Let's hear another one
few,
of your,
yeah.
Your positives.
This one is about my dog. So I think Scotty is starting to like me almost as much as my wife, Lacey. I think it's getting close. We're starting to get like a bit of a rhythm. Even, you know, Lacey likes to play this diabolical game where she has both of us sit on the other sides of the room, put Scotty in the middle and see who she runs to. I'm starting to think I got a chance at the game, man. I don't think I'm quite like a plus 5,000 underdog. I think I'm starting to get a little closer, like plus 200-300.
So when Scotty's positioned in the middle of the room, is it 100% go to Lacey every time?
So when Lacey's having not a great day, like, we'll play the game so that she feels a lot better. Because it's a no doubter, she's gone. Like, I mean,
it's a win.
A no doubt. The other day, it actually might have been yesterday, but we were doing something on the computer, you and I, and she, I didn't hear, but Lacey had gone, I guess, out to go for a run. Shout out to her. Very proud. And Scotty, I think, was with me, and I didn't know where Lacey went. So I like finish up. I'm walking around. I'm looking for Lacey. I'm kind of talking to my dog. People don't know who my dog is. Obviously, most of you don't. She's actually really freaking smart. And so I'm like, Scotty, where's your mom at? And she starts getting her little hyper thing. So she goes to the garage. So I'm like, oh, she's out in the garage. So I walk out to the garage and her car is there, but no, you know, it's closed and no Lacey. So now I'm actually like a little bit, not concerned, but curious. So now I'm like, Scotty, where's your mom at? Where is she? And now Scotty is doing the most hyped spins, run around. And now she's sprinting around the house, sprinting everywhere. And I don't know where she is and she's not picking up her phone. Obviously she was on a run. She's very dedicated now. She's very focused in that. So, oh, here comes Scotty right now. So see what I mean? She loves me. So, so Scotty's doing like this panic sprint around the house, trying to find my wife. And it's like, you know what? It's cute. It also just kind of hits me like, yeah, she still loves her mom a lot more than she loves her dad. So it's okay. I'm past it, but I do think that this quarantine has given me a little bit of time to make up. And I think I'm weaseling my way into this inner circle a little bit better.
Yeah. Harlow has times each day that she likes Cindy more and she likes
what
me
are those
more.
Times? Like, are they consistent times?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the time. I mean, in the morning,
all
loves
the time.
Well, I mean, every day. I mean, in the morning, loves Cindy way more. In the evenings, loves me way more. Napping times, big on Cindy, wants to play big on me. It's like,
yeah,
she knows who to go to.
She's
and who
smart.
To grab.
Yeah. She's got
so,
it.
So it's a little 50-50. At least I try to tell myself that, but I have a positive quarantine, a positive stay at home thing.
Give
so
me it.
I'm not a big, I like having facial hair, but I've never been a big beard grower. I get to the itchy phase and I shave it every time. Max, I think I've powered through itchy face.
Nothing worse than itchy face, by the way. To
I think I'm
our
through.
Three female listeners out there, it sucks.
I think I'm through. I think I'm on the other side.
It looks pretty good. You have, what do you call it? The beard, the hairs per something?
Oh, DPI, dots
what
per
is
inch.
That? Dots per inch. You have a good dots per inch.
Yeah, my DPI in this area here got some gray. This doesn't bode well for you always calling me old. Oh. I got some gray right here. But you know what?
It's bound to happen.
So does Kanye, and he raps about it. So we're good to go. Got a little gray in the beard. That's
powering
not-
through the beard or the itchy beard face really does feel like a huge win because everyone's been there where they're like, I'm going to grow a beard or I'm going to grow some sort of beard. I'm going to be looking handsome like, you know, one of the Hemsworth brothers or something. And then you get to that point where it's so itchy, you got to make a decision. Do I care about being handsome or do I care about comfort? And all of us at some point make a decision. I care about being handsome more. And you push through. And when you beat it, you feel happy. You feel accomplished. And then you realize maybe like 2 days later, you didn't really look all that handsome. So, you know, it's probably a mistake. But I was just at that phase. I just beat through the itchy phase. I do this quite often. And then I forget it just how itchy it was. And I'll do this all over again in the future. But it sure does feel good to beat that little time in our beard lives.
What are you shaving with? What are you do you pull out the Mach 3 and go full shave when you shave?
I haven't
have an electric?
Full shaved since college, since my coach used to make me. So I have the electric trimmer. I think it's a Wall or a Wally. I don't really know. I buzz it down. I tried to get the trimmer with the different heads or whatever. And so I could just like barely trim the thing. Cause I like
different guard sizes? Right?
The guard. And it never really seems to work. So I have to buzz it all the way down or I have to just have a long beard. I will say that Joe, when he was growing his enormous beard out, one of the funniest moments of my entire relationship with him, we're in Panama, which those who haven't been there, it is essentially just the sun. If you ever want a vacation on the sun, go to Panama. And we were there and, you know, everything that's itchy is always worse when it's hot. And we share a room, did not share a bed. Fortunately for us, we had enough money to get a couple queen beds.
Nice,
so
rolling in it.
We're laying down at night and it's obviously lights out, you know, we're ready to go to sleep and I can hear him just kind of scratching at it. And I'm like, Joe, you all right? And now he's like, mother effing the world. I'm cutting it off, Max. I can't do this anymore. And he toughed it out. And I think that's a huge reason why he hasn't shaved it since, because he just doesn't want to have to go back through that to get back to where he is now. I think that it hit him hard.
Did it feel in a way that the roles were reversed there, where he was having a hard time with something and you had to be the voice for him?
I had to talk him through. Yeah, I clubbed him. I clubbed him well. I said, you look super handsome, man. Like, keep it going. Like, it's worth the discomfort. And I think I gave him a good club. You know, he's still got a girlfriend to this day. So I take a lot of credit for that.
Give me a positive. Give me a spin me right now, Max. Let's go.
Spin you. All right. Listen, I'm really not big on personal touch, like at all. Like I'm not big on close talkers who put their hand on your shoulder. I'm not big on.
Yeah, you're not a hand. You're not a hugger.
Not big on it, man. Hey, check this out. I appreciate hugs now, man. Like I look forward to giving somebody a hug. When I was watching the strap video from last week from the No Laying Up guys, me and Randy do this like jumping awkward bro hug, and like it hit all the feels. I was like, man, I miss that. I just miss that option. We don't need to be going around hugging people all the time, but it made me appreciate it. It made me appreciate. Also, here's another spin about the close talking. When anybody gets anywhere near me to close talk me, instead of having to be polite and like kind of doing the lean back, I'm just going to lean away from your face a little. And so if you're going to actually lean farther towards my face, you're going to fall into me. I can just like take multiple steps backwards until you get the hint that, hey, social distance, your dirty breath away from my face. So I like that part too. So yes, as much as I like the hugs, the strangers and the close talkers, I can kind of give them the full forearm or full arm distance, like back up. And I don't need, it's not being rude. It's the law, Shane. Like it's the law.
Yeah. They're telling us to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
What are your thoughts on this? And I want you, I know you got a lot of pro golfers in your phone. You're looking at your phone right now. You're probably texting pros.
I'm looking
right
at
now.
My other benefits. Man. Okay. I'm trying to plan. All right.
So your phone has, you know, contacts, friends that
I do
play
have
on
some
the PGA
contacts.
Tour. I'm just thinking right now, just going to throw this out there. Mass text everybody on tour. When golf returns, we go with the hug at the end of the round.
I literally thought about that. I thought about this the other day. I promise you that on the first tee of the first tournament back, if I'm playing with anybody I know relatively well, I'm walking up and we're bro hugging it out. Because just because we can. Now, if we can't, then I still can't do that. I just realized we probably can't do that. So that's a horrendous idea.
When you get to the point,
when I get to the point, it's going to be a big old hug. Big old hug.
The one-armed hug.
Me and Joe are going to be locking arms, walking down the fairway. I miss Joe. Like, it's crazy. I miss him a lot.
Yeah, you finished T40th and you guys are hugging, like big hugs on the green. It's going to be great.
It's going to be good.
This is an easy one. This is a layup for positive things about this. My backyard has never looked better. It's never been in better shape. I blow off. I have a battery powered lawn blower. I blow off my back patio at least twice a day. I go through two batteries a day. I have to recharge them every night. I am always watering plants. Our flower beds look great. I've hung a swing for Henry. I mean, our backyard will never look this good. I got the net up. I got the chipping net. You know, it looks nice, man. It's in good shape because you've got to utilize
grass back there. Like, you got to take advantage
grass.
In Arizona.
Oh, it's just, the backyard, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this right now that are nodding. The backyard right now is, this is Tiger, you know, in the early 2000s of my backyard.
Wow. That's
what it is.
That's quite the call.
I'm just telling you, that's where we're at.
So one of the other ones I just wanted to add, I feel like we're all starting to really appreciate like nurses and teachers a lot more like we should every day. I know teaching, especially in the sense that everybody I've talked to lately that has kids that are in school, they have to teach them from home, and they've all said the same thing. This teaching thing is impossible. Like, it's so hard. I feel like we're starting to appreciate the teachers more, and obviously the nurses and doctors, but especially the nurses. I feel like a lot of people talk about, when I grew up, I want to be a doctor. And you're like, yeah, that sounds great. And like, being a nurse is so great. It's so amazing. The big hearts and all the work ethic. So I think that's really, really cool. But yeah, I was talking to Mark Wilson just the other day, and he was talking about homeschooling, and he just said just how difficult it is. It made me kind of chuckle. Like, yeah, we take teachers for granted,
for sure.
Like, really easily. Like, I going through all my years of schooling, obviously, like thinking about all this, you know, my first grade teacher, my second grade teacher, not thinking much of them, now realizing like, man, they were saints, like absolute saints,
like
to put
50,
up with me and my friends.
40 people in a room, or 25
and like
kids.
Complete and other like animals, like just animals in a classroom. Like, sounds terrible. I also have this one. This one I think is Man, I got married November 30th of this past year. So it has not even been, it's barely, I don't even think it's been 6 months yet.
May 30th would be six, right?
Yeah. Okay. So May 30th. So it hasn't even been 6 months yet. All of a sudden, in our first year of marriage, we're thrown this curveball. Hey, right, you're stuck together all the time. And for people who live like the professional golf world, like I travel a lot. We're not together a ton, and not saying that we don't pine to be together more, but we're not together a lot. We've never done this. We've never seen each other 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week, constantly. So this felt like it was going to be a huge test. And listen, it's still going really well. We are close as ever. We still don't really bicker much, which we never really did. We have our little spats here and there, but we were both talking about it today because I was asking Lacey what she thought some benefits were, and she pointed out the same thing. So I'm very, very thankful on that. On that note, way more home cooked meals being home all the time. I've tried to cook. I really don't have a lot of skills. I cook chicken real well. I mean, super, super well. But, you know, I don't mean to brag. But other than that, I got pretty much nothing. Lacey's been in this mood to just, you know, try out these new things. I had this quinoa salad yesterday. I thought it was unbelievable. But I have to eat out all the time. And I really love eating at home. I love the home cooked meals. And I've gotten tons of those in this quarantine.
The fact that you almost have to, I mean, we are eating out, you know, a few times a week, and we've purchased the gift cards from a few of our favorite places early on when you know, we were just trying. What's up?
Sizzler?
No, you know what?
Come on, man. Lie to me.
Is there a Sizzler in the Phoenix area that we need to go to when we are allowed back?
I mean, listen, you keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
Okay. Because I'm sure there's a Sizzler somewhere. There's gotta. I mean, Phoenix. So
there's
is like
definitely
one
somewhere.
There's a, like in the. This world. Is like one of the top six biggest cities in the country. There's gotta
there's
be
one
a
34
Sizzler.
Minutes from my house. It's right next to a Denny's, and if anybody is shocked at all by that, I don't know what to tell
so
you.
So wait, where is it? 34 minutes? Is it
well,
like
it's
West
probably
Valley?
An hour from you because it's 34 from me. I don't even know what that means. Yeah, West Valley near. I don't know, man. Oh, it's also next to a Tokyo Express and a Panda Express. That has to be a bitter rivalry. I don't know. We might need to check this out. I bet you it's kind of like Anchorman where they just fight every day.
How many restaurants are right on top of each other?
I don't know.
We need to go check
this
out.
This is a hot spot. I need to get my hands on this place.
Hey, what's your, when you were playing not on the PGA Tour, and it's Chipotle's not your answer. You got to be sitting down inside.
Well, it is my answer. I sit down in Chipotle. Don't
where
take
do
that
you, I know,
me.
I know, but Chipotle's, let's not do Chipotle. I mean, they got to have a full bar. Okay. The place has to have a full bar.
Hey, they sell Coronas at
and I think at, margaritas at Chipotle.
And margaritas at Chipotle. Yeah, yeah, good
that's
try,
not a
Shane.
Full bar.
Good
that's
try,
not a full
Shane.
Bar. That's not a
full
bar. Full
enough for me, Shane. All right, but go ahead.
Where do you think you went the most? That's a
Outback.
Chain restaurant.
Outback.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like a pretty standard staple of my golf trips. Lacey hates it, but if I'm by myself, I will be at the Outback in the city.
So that's like the Chili's of my world where I will go to,
yeah. Are you
I'll
crushing
go to a Chili's.
Chili's?
Oh, it's the best. The
Chili's is so good.
That queso dip they have that's like 4,000 calories
Their
as an
chips
appetizer.
Have all the air in them. And usually like air isn't good in the food, but somehow they have created like the airiest chip with flavor I sure have ever had.
I mean, there are other companies that I wish would at some point sponsor this podcast, but Chili's is in my probably in my
Chili's
top five.
Is high up there.
Chili's would be really, really high. I would read the Chili's ad reads as if I was giving a college graduation speech. That's how excited I would be. It would be literally like a commencement moment every single podcast when I read about Chili's. I would say baby, I would sing baby back ribs. It would be so exciting. But do you have any more of
I got a few more? Are you out? Okay.
I think I'm out. Go ahead.
No, I'm just a lot more positive. All right. So I'm a huge people watcher. I love people watching. I always have. Used to in college. I went to a city that has kind of the best people watching in the country in Berkeley. You got all kinds of stuff. I used to just go sit out on campus at night, watch people do all kinds of stuff. It was very fun. So people watching now is actually, I mean, if we're going to spin everything to be a positive, it's kind of funny. The other day, you know, you go to the grocery store. The grocery store right now is probably in Arizona is the only time I feel, as far as Arizona goes, like it's pretty intense in there, right? Like there's, right. It feels very not, I don't know. You feel like the
It's got a military feel to it in terms of how you show up and they've got the carts and they wipe them down and there's only a few, a lot inside of the time.
And they're for a good reason. Well, the positive spin I'll give you is people watching there, like as you're going through, you got the people who don't know whether to pass you or not with the cart because now you're closer than 6 feet. And not that I'm saying that I mess with them, but I'll just stand there and look at them and they look at me and we both kind of have this back and forth in our heads of like, so what are we doing here? Are we going to break the law, get too close? I love that. I love watching people as they come closer to me if I know them. I like to watch them decide if they're going to go fist bump, elbow bump, or like, we're just going to stay forever away.
Right.
I go with the forever away all the time, but when they get too close and I just back up and it's awkward there. I like that part.
So you're backing up and pulling the cart back as well.
Yeah. Or I'm just in person. And like, I saw some people this week that are in Arizona from Vegas, I guess, practicing golf. And like, you know, they start walking towards me. I'm like, I think I got to back up, man. But like, I don't know what to do either, but I like watching people be awkward because I'm awkward so often that it feels really good to do that. So all the people watching, I do really enjoy.
So you say you love people watching. I can only imagine that professional golf events are unreal people watching spots. But you've told me that the rule is, as a player, is you never make eye contact with people, because if you give them an inch, then they'll take a mile and they'll want to talk to you and ask how the round's going and say weird golf stuff. So how do you people watch but make it look like you're not people watching as you play, or if you're on a tee waiting?
That's a great question. I think I still do look over. I just try not to. It's like, don't give somebody eye contact and hold it. Like, don't give them 2-3 seconds. But we'll look. I mean, you in Hawaii, this had to be 5 years ago. But I mean, it's noon in Hawaii, and there's a guy walking along our 10th hole to the left, and his wife is holding him up by like his mid back, and he's still holding a beer or two, might have been two, and he is almost full tabletop backwards. Like he is leaning
like Weekend at Bernie's.
So hard. Weekend at Bernie's. The dude is done for. And that you see that stuff a lot. You see that at the Waste Management, honestly, pretty much every hole. But that was fun because I looked at Joe and I'm like, what time is it, man? He's like, it's noon. I'm like, all right. I mean, it's Hawaii. I guess everybody's on vacation. So, but you see a lot. But yeah, you got to be careful. You don't want to stare too long. Although if something crazy is going on and you stare, you get the other fans see you stare, and then they start to laugh. Then you start to laugh. So then you have like the camaraderie of it all.
It's like a team. It's like a team. It's like a comedy club.
Like, yeah, look at this idiot, and you're like, yeah, okay, we all see it.
Did you ever go sunglasses when you did you try sunglasses
can't
to play
it.
Or no?
I would love to try. I can't do it. I tried it at the Quicken Loans in like 2015 or 16 one year. And I because the only reason I did is because the bunkers were so bright. Like the white, you know, that white sand where like it just shocks your eyeballs. Well, I was doing that and I kept telling Joe, I was like, dude, I can't like open my eyes in here. And I get in there and I kept putting my sunglasses on. Or these sunglasses on that I like basically found. It might have been Joe's. And every time I hit a shot, I mean, I hit it so bad you couldn't imagine. And by Saturday, yes, I made the cut. Shout out to all the haters. I make the cut and I'm in the bunker and I hit it in another fairway bunker. And Joe goes, hey, listen, man, you cannot put on these sunglasses anymore. This is a good caddy, by the way. Noticing all your deficiencies on the fly. He's like, yo, you got to stop putting these sunglasses on because every time you do it, you hit a terrible shot. I'm like, all right, I'm glad that I'm not the only one that's noticing this. So then I was like, well, what the hell do I do? Like, it's still bright regardless. And so he had me go in there. And then right before I took the club back, I'd open my eyes and it got better. I think, I don't know. I obviously didn't win the golf tournament, but I mean, that was a tough one. So I can't do the sunglasses is just like a huge problem for me.
We did a few years ago, we went to the beach. My family went to the beach in Alabama and we were going to do family
photos. Wait. Beach in Alabama.
Yeah.
Explain. Go on. Explain.
What do you mean?
Isn't Alabama like in the middle of the...
No, there's beach. Gulf Shores? Hello?
Oh, sorry.
Come on, man. Well, we had Gulf a beautiful Shore. House.
I didn't say your house wasn't nice.
so we were on the beach. Beautiful beach.
In Alabama.
One of the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen. Probably
the most beautiful beach in all of Alabama.
You talk about white sand, bro. So white.
White what? White sand?
Oh, beautiful white sand. Like super fine white sand. Felt like you were walking on salt.
Yeah, you might have been. So if it was a beach in Alabama, it might have just been salt.
So we go down to the water by the beach, obviously, and we are taking professional family photos, and we are staring directly into like a 5:30 sun. You know, it is just right just in your grill.
Coming after you.
And we're all, I mean, you know, not a professional photographer here. You know, I'm a guy that snaps a couple pictures of a golf course and posts it on Instagram, maybe with a little bit of a filter, but not even an Instagram filter. But I know that this isn't going to be the best look, right? They made us do the eyes closed still, right? They
count until three. Open, yeah.
All of the pictures looked horrible.
Yeah, they're terrible because you always open your eyes way too big.
So ridiculous. So.
See a lot of white. Speaking of white sand, you got the whites in your eyes just like popping. Yeah.
So that was my experience with the eye. You know, did you think about eye black? Did you think about going eye black on the course?
I mean, I don't want to be that guy. I got a piece of advice that when I was like 13, 14 years old. No, maybe, yeah, 13, 14 years old. And one of my first coaches, Mike, told me, this is the best piece of advice you could ever give a kid. He said, hey, I got one piece of advice for you. I was like, what is it? He goes, just don't be that guy. Anywhere you go, don't be that guy. So in this case, the eye black, I'd be that guy.
I mean, you're already starting new trends on the PGA Tour. Now you're scared of the eye black. I'm thinking,
what
just throw it out
there.
What trend
did I start?
Well, the hugging after the round already started.
I haven't started it yet.
Well, I'm just saying, you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. You're a trendsetter. Top 30, nicest guy on tour. Now going to be hugging everybody.
Hey, top 29, nicest guy.
That, by the way, that will bump you up on the list. Because that's got to be in the paragraph written about you. He implemented the hugging protocol.
Honestly, that would be nice. That would
probably
be nice.
Bump you in the top 15, I bet.
I got two more. One really quick one. I don't screw up packing for golf tournaments anymore. I don't forget my shorts or my pants. I don't forget my golf shirts. I don't forget my rain jacket. I constantly seem to be doing this. Now, it's all in my house, man. I can't forget anything. It's all here, and it feels really good. Also, started playing Call of Duty lately.
It's a terrible one. I love it. It's a terrible one, but it's great.
One that's true to my art.
All the things you need are where you are.
Where they are, yeah. This is something personal to me. The other one I got is I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty lately, and you know, you talk to your friends on there. It really does make me feel like I'm hanging out with my friends, and it feels really freaking good.
Yeah.
Like we were just playing before we came on here, joking around. One of my best friends, he was in my wedding, so I can say he's one of my best friends, maybe my best friend in the whole world, Shane. He works in the police force. He has a lot of days where he obviously can't play video games. He's out there saving lives. And he said, hey, I got a day off, like, let's play. And it's like, when you feel like you're playing, you feel like you're hanging out. And I, even when I'm home in Valencia, I don't get lucky enough to do that because a lot of the times he's out on patrol,
right,
saving the world. So felt really good. That is my last and final one. And it may not be for everybody, but if you can play a little video games, get on that chat with your buddies, it sure does feel, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Now you said he's one of your best friends. You're really close to him. So next week, if we did top five Zachs, do you think you'd remember to include him or not?
I have to say I would forget him just to make Michael feel better.
Oh, yeah, this is for, you're going to forever have to forget. If we do top five Lacys, I'm just going to say you need to include your wife.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do. I want to live past that day. So I'm going to mention that she is in my favorite. She'll be all five of them. Listen,
we haven't talked about it. This is just totally off the cuff. But if you were doing top five Zachs, who do you think would be number one?
Zach Morris? No. Dude, Zach's is hard. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I think Zach Morris is one, man.
I got Zach, my buddy Zach Corrales. I got Zach Johnson, but not the one you're thinking. Zach Johnson is my coach's son. About to play football at Cal. Be quarterback. Probably take us to like four national championships. That'll be great. Zach Morris, I guess that comes to mind.
Galifianakis?
Zach Galifianakis has got to be up there. Man, that's a tough one.
I'm not sure.
Zach is a tough one. I like it.
Let us know on Twitter, best Zach out there.
And we're probably missing one that is just very obvious.
That's okay. We're idiots. People know that already.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
We try to be positive on this podcast all the time, but occasionally we're not going to just speak positively about everything. And this is one of those times. I asked you, so this is more on me than you, obviously, for your least favorite, most annoying golf terms. And this came up because I wrote something. A guy at our money game made a double eagle 2 times in 3 weeks in a money game. And I mentioned that, and I texted you this because I had a couple people respond and go, albatross, question mark. I'm like, yeah, who cares? Those don't matter. Like double eagle, albatross, it is what it is. They're a term that's appropriate for what happened, right? So don't yell at me about that. But there are definitely some golf terms that drive me crazy. I'm going to let you start, Bax. What do you have for annoying, frustrating golf term you wish would go away?
Well, I know I'm piggybacking off yours, but my least favorite one probably is albatross, just because it sounds so pretentious. Like, I know it's a big bird. I know all this stuff, but it just sounds pretentious. Like, oh, would you make an albatross? And everyone's like, oh, yes, an albatross. And then someone comes in and goes, I just made a double eagle. And they're like, what did you say? And you're like, literally, I made three under the par. Like, give me some slack. Have you made a double eagle? And, you know, they stick your nose about you. But other than that one, I wanted to lead off. My favorite one is stinger, by the way. As I was thinking all the bad ones, stinger is the best one. But my absolute least favorite, now I have a lot of these, but my number one least favorite is anytime anybody says I missed it on the pro side. Listen, yeah. Listen here, guys. You know what the pro side is? It's right in the middle of that hole. That's the pro side. The pros make a lot of putts. We don't. No pro has ever missed a putt high and be like, hey, Joe, you see that? Missed it on the pro side, bud. And everyone's like, cool, man. Are you going to mark it or are you going to finish? You know, it's a terrible, terrible phrase.
Man, great start. Going to be real downhill from there. That is an excellent number one. I'm going to kind of follow you, I guess, a little bit here. I think this might drive me the craziest. When people say good weight, I okay. hate that.
I think that's from curling. Isn't it called a weight?
Well, I have no idea. I've never curled
before. Oh my God. You need to get into watching it. Holy cow. No,
I
mean,
I watched the Netflix thing about curling.
Yeah, so I think it's called a weight. So when it's good distance, they call it good weight. I'm not saying that your thing is, I still agree with you, but I think that's might be where they got it from, which is even dumber because it could not be more opposite. One's on ice, one's on freaking grass.
You know what it does?
Talk about a frost delay.
No, nice. Yeah, well, nailed it. Go there. Nailed Should it. We end right now?
Yeah, all right. Stop? Hey, it's good, guys. Hey, wash
great
your hands.
Apps. Wash your hands. Let's talk to you later. Follow along on Twitter. So good weight always drives me crazy. I'm not a fan, to go with what you said about albatross. Is any term that you feel like the person says it to sound
like more a golfer?
Yeah, like more important. Like, yeah. Hey, good weight there, Max.
Yeah. Lacey, I asked Lacey because she, you know, she knows like kind of the minimum about golf. And she has to stand in the crowd and listen to all these guys explain to their friends what's going on. And even she will tell me like how dumb these things some of them say is. But so I asked her what her least favorite one was, and she has a great one. Hers is when somebody from the crowd, and I do it all the time, and I'm sure you do it all the time. All of us do it, and I hate that I do it. So when somebody hits a good shot, and instead of saying good shot, we just say shot. It's like, why? Like, at what point were we allowed to just like drop the good? It's a good point. I don't get it.
It's a great one. You know, now your thoughts on golf shot. You hit a good one. Golf shot. What are your thoughts there? Because I don't mind golf shot.
I feel like it's one of those things that even when I say it, I'm like, man, you kind of sound like a tool.
Yeah.
I get when I'm saying it and when I hear people say it, I like get what they're trying to say. Or like I get like the meaning of it, where it's coming from. But I, as you say it just now as like an option, I'm like, yeah, I don't really like it.
But maybe you don't like the way I say it. Can you say it? Let me hear how it sounds.
No, if I'm being honest with you, the best part about you, all things, is your voice. So
oh, wow. Best thing?
If you say
not
it, my, I don't
not
like
this
it.
Beard here you're looking at?
No, so it's your voice. And if you're saying it, for people who obviously can't see, Shane is doing a very creepy jaw out, showing me his beard thing. Didn't need to see it. So confirming that his best part is not the beard. But yeah, so I don't love the saying, but I probably have said a lot. I've said shot a million times. I don't like that one. One of the other ones I don't like. I don't like when people say on the dance floor. I don't like dance floor. I don't really know why. I mean, it could be 80 feet away and you're like, he's dancing. It's like, I'm probably not dancing. I'm still the kid in seventh grade on the guy side of the wall, still too afraid to like walk over to the middle or ask a girl to dance with me. I might have got one foot off and all of a sudden the DJ's like, he's on the dance floor. It's like, am I really on the dance floor? Yeah. I'm not really on the dance floor.
I need
floor.
To be dancing with someone. Yeah, like, I need to have a 15-footer.
Yeah, right, I need to be in the mix.
I would say Never up, never in. Any golf cliche, just
never up, never in.
If you have ever heard what you want to say before, I'm going to say try not to say it. If it's a phrase,
fair.
It's a cliche.
Very sure.
It just doesn't need to be said. Never up, never in.
I on that point, I don't like all square. And I know that they just changed it. It also sounded incredibly pretentious. Like,
gotcha.
Hey, where do they stand? And like everyone in the world who doesn't play golf would be like, oh, they're tied. And then you got like the guy over there with like the blazer on watching golf being like, huh, they're all square, sir. And you're like, all right. You know, I'm glad they changed that one, because that one just seems, it's just too many words. Like, they're tied. Like, it's they're even. I don't know.
So the tie thing last year was tough. Yeah, for us to grasp,
struggle,
because we're broadcasting a lot of match play, and you want to say the holes tied, the match is all square, the match is tied. And the reason they changed it to tied was because all the updated rule books by the USGA are translated in, you know, 150 languages, and halved and all square doesn't translate. Tied does translate.
Well, thank so
why don't
goodness
we just,
for...
Why don't we just go with the simple tied word, and that's why they went.
Thank goodness for that. Do you have another one? I got two more.
Yeah, I got my... Do you want me to go? You know what?
Yeah,
I'll go with
go.
My...
You seem smug about this next
I'll
one.
Go with my least favorite one.
All right.
And I'm going to say... I'm going to speak for everybody that's ever played golf that's left-handed. You're hitting from the wrong side of the ball.
I love that one.
It's just... the worst. It makes my skin want to, you know, people say your skin crawl. It makes my skin want to melt. It makes my skin want to punch the person that said it. I absolutely hate left-handed golf comments. They're so horrible. And every lefty hears them every single round.
I need to ask though, do you think though, maybe like you are playing from the wrong side of the ball?
Well, to be fair, when you play golf left-handed, you're hitting from the right side of the ball. Does that make sense?
Well, now we're getting into a pretty deep conversation.
But hold your fingers up. See, left, L, and that's where you're hitting from, and I'm on the right side.
So when you did that, it's backwards because we're in a video, so there you go. My next one, I don't really know why this one came to mind. I don't really like sand trap.
Okay.
Because... it sounds like something on a playground. Now, again, I've kind of harped on not being too pretentious. Trap. Yeah, but then you add trap to it, and it sounds so menacing. But like, for the most part, sand trap bunkers, that's where you'd rather be. A bunker has, yes.
You'd rather be there.
Well, yeah, like, I mean. You
know what I'm saying?
I guess, okay, yeah. So I guess, yeah, you're right. Never mind. I'm going to take that off the board. Sand traps off the board, because most people hate being in the right. Sand traps. I'm going to call them a bunker because it's like a place where you kind of hide out and then you explode out. You beat the competition from the bunker. Sand trap, I'm stuck. I mean, think about it, like a bear trap. You're screwed in a bear trap. You're donezo.
Also a golf term, by the way.
The bear trap. Man, I hate those holes. Those are hard. But okay, I'll take that off the board because now I get more. I was being a little selfish as to why that was named
as a pro. As a trap. The bunker is the better place to be for a 15 handicap. When
probably
it goes
the
in the sand,
place.
It's going to be like a 12. Yeah. So I understand.
The next one, I think we talked about it last week a little bit, but makeable putt.
Oh.
I hate it. Oh, I just hate it.
It's horrible.
Really makeable putts. Like, all right, cool. Like,
it's horrible.
I get the point. I get it. I would probably say it too if I was doing broadcast. I totally get it. However, the saying itself, as along with pretty much all of these that I've mentioned, I've said them before. I'm not proud of saying them before, but this one just seems silly. They're all makeable. We need a better term or just a different way to go about it. Or I can just stop, you know, nitpicking and just deal with it. But
makeable
putt just seems so silly. I mean, I get it. But you could say like something a little bit more profound. I feel like it becomes very, no, I get it. As we did this rebroadcast, I get it. You need to say things quickly before they cut to the next shot. But if I'm nitpicking and just like going through all the things that I kind of make fun of, makeable putt's definitely up there.
I'm with you. I agree with it. Loved your list. Thought you did a great job. Really feel
thanks,
like you're
Shane,
bringing
you too,
it this
man.
Episode, by the way. I just feel you like
too,
you're kind of on it. You know what? Can you next week? I need you to play like 2 hours of Call of Duty before we do this.
Yeah, maybe Call of Duty really helps.
Gets you really focused.
I've got to feel good. You go ahead.
You know what,
Shane? You go ahead, Shane.
You know what, Max? Go ahead.
Shane, you go ahead.
So I've got some.
I'll go.
I've got some reader questions, but I would actually like to hear Feel Good Friday before we get into questions.
Sorry, I make myself laugh during this quarantine. This one's really quick. Saw two counties in Southern California opened up golf in Turk County, Riverside County. Very exciting. Just excited for my friends that actually have a place to go drive and play some golf.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, a good friend of mine, has golf course just opened back up in Southern California. He called me driving home from the golf course yesterday. Have not heard him that happy in years.
He's going to appreciate everything more.
He's had children in the last few years, and I've never heard him that happy.
Don't tell them that.
No, I will not. But I'm with you. You know, the golf course, you and I have talked about this. We talked about it on social media more than we've talked about it here, but you know, every time you talk about going out to a golf course, people are going to tell you that you're doing something wrong. And I played this morning. It is, in my opinion, with the way we do it, a very, very safe place to be. So it's nice to see people with that opportunity now to go out there. And if you do it smart, you don't touch the flags, don't touch the rakes, don't shake hands, don't hug, for goodness sakes. But if you do it intelligently, it can be a place that is safe. Get out on the golf course if you can, if it's allowed. I promise you, it'll make you feel a lot better. I got a great question to start. Ian says, and it's very simple, and I don't want to make a long thing out of this. I just want you to run through the five. Top five condiments, go. And if you're not ready, I will rock mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're not stopping. I'm just doing it. Top five. I got the question today. Didn't spend a whole bunch of time on it. Here we go. Number five, ranch. Four, hot sauce. Three, ketchup. Two, salsa. One, which is, I feel like as an adult, makes a big jump. Number one is mustard. Let's hear yours.
One ketchup, two mustard, three syrup, four, there's a special kind of relish at this place I eat hamburgers at. Five, I'm going hot sauce.
Yeah, hot sauce, so many options.
Sriracha hot sauce just is always good. Cholula hot sauce, always good. Always, always good.
So I wanted to lead this into the next reader question, but I got this reader question from a lot. I don't know why people would care to ask us this, but like five different people that I saw asked your favorite snack on the golf course. And I was thinking that I don't think I have one. I mean, I ate beef jerky before. I've had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches all the time. But is there one that is an every round thing for you when you play, or no?
Beef jerky, before I went like pescatarian, although I am back on the meat, beef jerky was always my favorite. I'm big on, hopefully the course has Uncrustables, but I will a lot of the time get bars, to have my own, or little, you know, I like almonds quite a bit. I also, like I said last week on the podcast, Ron McAfee helped hook me up with some one, protein bars those are my favorite bars. But yeah, I try to do something. Like I'll be back heavy on that beef jerky pretty soon. But yeah, if I could get a PB&J, besides her support, love, good looks, the list goes on and on about my favorite parts of having Lacey at the tournaments. My true favorite, because she probably won't listen to this episode, is she makes me PB&Js after nine holes. That's the actual best part.
After nine. So goes in, makes it, brings it out.
Woo, it's so good.
You kind of glossed over this, and you were doing such a good job during quarantine. I understand that it's not easy right now, but you're back on the meat. What happened?
Well, first of all, it was kind of a little like research project just to see if I felt worse. I did considerably.
You felt worse. You felt worse eating meat.
After, yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. It's pretty apparent that it wasn't placebo. I really felt a lot more lethargic after I had my first steak. Now, I do think I can eat chicken and feel fine because I've been eating a lot of chicken and feeling fine. I think I'm going to be pretty much off red meat for the most part, at least in full. I know, in like full steak, something that I'm actually like having to wolf down. I'm sure beef jerky's fine. You know what? Check this out. I might do a little research project tomorrow, eat some beef jerky, see how I feel. But it was a little bit of that. Also, it's super hard to eat relatively healthy in this quarantine without chicken. we have a lot of fish in the house, but it you know, fish takes a lot longer to prep, and
right.
And it ended up making me eat kind of snacks all day instead of eating. Like I mentioned before, I got one thing I'm good at cooking, man. It's chicken. To take that out of my arsenal was really unfair.
I got nothing, man.
I brought zero to the table. So yeah, I'm back. But I will say that during the season, I'm going to be pretty low on the meat thing now that I know that it really does help, you know, defog my already foggy brain.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen someone snack on that you played with?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I haven't seen too much. I mean, everyone goes through their phases. Like right now, there's this phase maybe 4 months ago of these like power protein balls, and they looked disgusting. And I don't know who makes them, but they're pretty good. But like everyone will have them for that week or for that month, and everyone will swear by them. So it's not so much that they're weird, but you'll see like something new and then you'll say, hey man, like what's that? Then they'll explain it to you and it's all good. But I mean, everybody on tour pretty much eats the same type of thing. It's just certain people have their different brands. You know, certain people do the whole gluten-free or lactose-free, all this stuff. So, you know, they might need different brands that are a little, I mean, you know, more like a little healthier or whatever, a little more specific, but I've never seen anything too crazy. Although back in the day, last year at the PGA Championship, you know, John Daly had a cart for the week that they allowed him in. I mean, he had like a McDonald's bag, or like he at the very least had a McDonald's cup in there. And I thought that was pretty, I mean, funny and random. So, I mean, not off brand by any means. I know you would usually probably put that in a water bottle or whatever, but that was just kind of funny to see. I really kind of took me by surprise for really no real reason. But so that was probably the most random thing. But for the most part, you've seen it all out here. So we all eat trail mix and PB&Js and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was just wondering. The McDonald's thing is interesting. I ordered a pizza to a golf course one time. Delivered in was awesome. I played this smaller golf course, Continental. You've probably never played it. It's like right in the middle of Old Town Scottsdale. I played there with my buddy Andrew, who you know, one day, super hungover. Both of us are just brutally hungover. And there's a McDonald's across one of the streets. And it was so slow. I mean, it was like two groups on every tee. I told him on the par three, I said, closest to the pin
has to run across
the street and get McDonald's. You know, the loser does.
That's a really good idea.
And I'm like a zero. Andrew at the time's like a 10. Andrew hits it like 3 feet.
Yeah.
So I had to go run across the street, came back over. The guys were playing with, they're like, all right, well, there you go. I had a couple of Big Macs and some fries. Great on-course snack. Was a big fan. Felt a lot better after it. So
the Coca-Cola, and I do not drink Coca-Cola, but the Coca-Cola from McDonald's has some in it. It cures hangovers like nothing else. It's just got like a higher sugar content or something. But that stuff is a certified winner when you're feeling down after a fun night out.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Max, do you want to go with a question here?
Yeah, I have a really good one.
All right, let's go. Well,
we get a lot of good ones from this guy. Chris Hevner asks, honest question, considering he's such a killer, do you think Tiger would have pointed out Steve Scott's ball mark? Had the situation been completely reversed, for those who didn't watch or don't know, during the 96 USAM on the 34th hole, Tiger had a short putt for birdie. He had moved his mark so Steve could putt. Tiger had, and has actually recently mentioned that he had completely forgotten to put the mark back. Steve steps in before Tiger hits and says, hey, don't forget to move that mark back. He does. Obviously, if he wouldn't have done that, Tiger would have lost the hole. Steve would have won the USAM. That question saying, you know, would Tiger have done it? I truly, truly believe he would have. I mentioned it on the rebroadcast. I think it's a big deal that Steve did that. I think it's incredibly commendable. I do also think that as time has gone on, we have appreciated it more. But I also think that happens a lot more than you think. It's just rarely in that situation. I know almost for a fact, Tiger is such a competitive dude. And he also, along with the competitiveness, wants people to push him to be his best. I do not think for one second that he would want to win a hole or a golf tournament because of that. I think that he would have done the same thing. I would like to think that a lot of us would. Obviously, Steve proved it, and that's something that you really can't trade. I'd like to say I would do that, and you know, I haven't been in that position before to be able to in such a heavy spot. But as far as Tiger goes, I don't think Tiger would ever want to win a golf tournament or get help to win a golf tournament just because you forgot something that he actually knew.
You know what I was just thinking about would instantaneously vault you to number one on the nicest guys on tour list? If you, in a big moment, told the guy to move the mark back, listen, you'd be number one. They'd go, remember when Max did this at the, you know, at the WGC?
But see, now that we have this out there, people are going to think, I'm only doing it to climb the ranks.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, just we'll cut this. We'll keep this to ourselves. So one of my friends, Maggie Hendricks, who I used to work with, and I'm with you, I think for sure move it back. I mean,
yeah,
nobody's not going to say something if they see it. I mean, you don't want to win like that. My friend I used to work with at Fan House, Maggie Hendricks, every time I do a Hat of the Day post on Instagram, she comments with a made up name of the golf course.
Okay?
It's unreal. Makes me laugh every time.
Just like your made up beach in Alabama.
She said, what would you name a golf club if you got to name one?
Ooh, I like this. Well, do you have an answer?
So my question would be, do you want to name it after yourself?
No, absolutely
not. Okay. Because Max Links would be pretty good.
I could be the home of golf.
Oh, wow.
All right, that's it.
That's the one. The home of golf.
The home of golf. And then if you want to add course at the end, I guess you could.
And you would name, if you had two courses, one would be the old, one would be the new. That is a great call. Did you just come up with that or somebody
else? I just literally came up with that, but I do hear that. I mean, I've joked about that a lot, that, like, you know, the home of golf and, you know, the home, I don't
Man,
know.
Man, if you ever win an Open at St. Andrews.
Oh, my God. Two worlds colliding.
And I'm broadcasting it. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Oh, I think I know, Shane. I know. All right, what's yours?
So I was going to say, I thought of this as name, like if I named my golf course, right,
yeah,
after me, or my team named it after me, I think I'd go Shake and Bake and Links.
Oh man, that just screams Muni par 61. Like,
absolutely.
You better have good breakfast at that place, Shane.
Unreal chorizo breakfast burritos, $5 Bloody Marys.
Bacon's, you know, always free. Purchase for the bacon.
It actually comes on everything, no matter what you ask. No matter what you ask for, there always will be a piece of bacon on the side. So Shake and Bacon Links. But if you have a good name out there, send it to us. And, appreciate Maggie sending that one in. You got something?
I got one from Sean Bisson. He said, which stop on tour that I've played has the best practice facility and what sets it apart? He also asked which one the worst is. I'm not gonna mention that one because they're all pretty good. I will point out a lot of great ones. When we go to majors, like when majors roll in, I know you've been to obviously tons of US Opens, it is shockingly nice because they could take over like other holes from other
right.
courses. I mean, when we played the PGA where did I play it at?
Bethpage.
Like, you know, they have 8 golf courses there. They just took over a completely other golf course, put the range on one of the fairways, made the chipping green an actual like green that they play to. So it's super realistic, super, super pure. The majors knock it out of the park. It makes you, we talk about this on the rebroadcast too. It makes you not ever want to leave the practice facility because it's so much nicer than anything you've done prior.
Yeah. I mean, the majors, what's so interesting about golf is the majors are so different than what you guys play week in and week out on the PGA Tour. You know, it's not this PGA Tour golf course that has the same event every year and knows how to facilitate the people and the players and all of the things that come in and around a golf tournament. You know, you're going to Marion once every 10, 12 years. You know, you're going to Hoylake, you know, every decade. And so they don't have all of the things that these other places have because they're going to have a PGA Tour event every year. And sometimes that can be a great thing, and sometimes it can be a little bit of a detriment. And I'm assuming with the range, as you said, it seems like it's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I got another one. This one just makes me laugh. JJ Mickey asked us, you need to execute one
this,
of these.
Max, I had this one on my computer as the
no
next
way.
Question. Yes.
Hey, you read it, Shane. You got a better voice. Go for it.
No. You're a media guy. Let's go.
All right. You need to execute one of these situations for your first major. Example, person knows that par wins. Would you rather, one, have at best a 10-footer for victory but virtually guarantee yourself a playoff, or two, stand on the final hole tee box and try to win it from there? I'm going to point out one thing first. The hole matters a lot. Like, if it's a crazy short par five or something that everyone's been birdieing, I'd like to play the hole and take my chances. But the overarching point of this is, and I'll lead it with an old quote, not word for word, I'm not a Google by any means, but Tiger once mentioned he would take 20 to 25 feet on every hole for birdie for the rest of his life. Point of that is, it's damn hard to have 10 feet for birdie. I don't care right. What hole you're playing. So I'm taking the 10-footer. That would be an amazingly played hole just to have 10 feet for birdie on literally 99% of any hole. So I'm taking that 10-footer. I put 10-footers at, 45%. I'm taking a 45% chance to win with literally no chance to not.
Hold on one second. You're saying you make how much? What was your?
It's probably 35%. The craziest stat that people need to look up that play recreational golf, the Tour Pros 50-50 point in putts per at what length is their 50-50 from is 8 feet, which seems a lot shorter than people would imagine. So when you all yell at yourselves for making a 15-footer that you always make these and blah, 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 it's just not true. I'm just telling you it's not true. So I'm guessing I'm probably 40, 45% from 10 feet.
All right, I'm looking up your putting stats right now. Putting from 10 feet, what'd you say?
I would say I'm 35 to 45%. I'm going to say 40%.
Man, pretty good. Oh, you're 35%. You're 34.78.
Okay, so that's a little lower than I thought. I got to practice more.
But you know what? 9 feet.
Am I dialed at 9?
You're 50%.
So that's what I'm saying. Every foot matters. It's a big deal. So that's why Tiger's point. Of course, you're taking 10 feet for bird.
All right, so I'm looking at this right now. So you've online on your PGA Tour website, putting from 3 feet, 4 feet, all the way to 10 is a stat, right?
Yeah.
That's a stat. What do you think your best... What do you think you're ranked the best at from 3 feet, 4 feet, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10? What's your best ranking on tour?
6.
That's a pretty good guess. You're 26th on tour from 5 feet. This is this year. 90%.
Dang, that's
you're
nice.
Good. 41 attempts, man.
I can roll it, everybody. I can roll it.
He is a good putter.
I haven't chipped it worth anything for a while, but I sure can roll it.
This is one of the more creative questions that I have ever been sent for one of these things. Not just with the podcast with you, but in any Q&A, send a question I've ever received. So Sack Charlie, I'm assuming you're from Sacramento.
Let's hope.
We're going to send you a sticker and some of the new Get a Grip golf tees for this question, because I love it so much. So I'll DM you and get your info. If you could play a two-man scramble with yourself from the past, what age of yourself would you choose and why, Max?
29, because I've been playing pretty good.
You can't pick right now. Come on.
I would pick, it was 2013. I was 20 when I was 22, because I didn't. That's when I first turned pro, and golf legitimately felt so easy because I didn't know any better. I hadn't really played like anything really hard yet. So I'd take that guy. That guy just didn't really get it yet.
but also that's a good thing, right?
No, that's what I mean. It was a great thing. He just didn't know any better. Do you have a specific age?
I would have to go something like 15, 16 when I felt like I could make every putt and chip. There was no fear in that.
That's kind of thinking. I'm a better ball striker than I've ever been. So I could almost just take my 10-year-old self in putting, because that guy didn't when you're 10, you make every putt in your head. I mean, that's so simple.
Yeah, I mean the no fear thing, and right now currently I'm battling with putting, and Max is trying to help me. Thank you, by the way, for being mine. My coach, I'm going to get you. I got a bucket of these disinfectant wipes. I'll give you as payment for all your help. But
awesome.
Yeah, no problem. But
money would be better. But
the putting thing, as you get older and when it's going poorly, how much you think about it going poorly versus what it used to feel like has got to be the biggest difference in golf from when you were a kid to when you become an adult.
Yeah, until you get through your head that it's not that complicated. So it's right. Just like, it just depends where your head goes. I remember one of the best pieces of advice my head coach at Cal, Steve Desmond, gave me was, I used to really struggle with my putting, which is honestly funny because I now think of putting as like one of my favorite things to do. And when I would go to the putting green and I'd practice and practice and practice. And coach came out one day and was watching me just grind on these 3-foot circle like everyone does. And he said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Coach, I've just been putting like trash lately." And he said, "How about you like just stop practicing for a little bit? Like don't grind it so hard." He made a good point. Every time you practice so hard, the next time you go out to putt in a round or in something competitive and you miss one, you feel like, man, I put in all this time. I should be doing better. And it almost raises your expectation level. And one of my dad's favorite and best sayings was, you know, low expectations, high standards. So we can't be out here expecting much. You can't put more pressure on yourself than you already naturally will have. So part of putting is realizing, man, it isn't that difficult. Danny Willett says that he tries to hit a putt online for 1 inch. It's pretty simple. And that's legitimately all, you know, besides the speed, that's the main part of putting is getting the ball online. So, you know, obviously the more you think about it as you get older, it's very easy to complicate it. It's also why people say, you know, go to dinner with other good putters because other good putters get just how simple it really is. But yeah, as a kid, it's aim and, you know, point and shoot. It's very, very easy. And yeah, you go through a little putting woe when you're 20 and all of a sudden you start thinking of every little thing under the sun.
You have a question. I can see you. I can see you're excited about this.
I do. This is just a good one. I think people should hear. This is from Alex Trevino. I'm assuming not Lee Trevino's son because he probably would have just asked his dad this. He knows a lot more than I do. What are effective, efficient ways to maximize your practice if you can't practice 6 to 8 hours a day pre-quarantine life? Obviously. Pretty simple. And I've stolen this from a lot of people. I know Patrick Cantlay, his coach Jamie Mulligan told me this one. You know, when Pat was in college, and Pat now, you know, his back isn't, I don't think it's like ready to very, I don't think he needs to be hitting 8 hours worth of golf balls every day. But I know he was in college. A lot of people had pointed out that he would have the most efficient practice sessions there were. And what that means is, especially in college, like we don't have a lot of time, right? You're going school to practice, and then you got to get back for homework. Some days you don't have a full day to grind. So what you do is you get there, and let's just say you have an hour. You get there, you split it up in your head, and when you hit balls, you hit very focused golf balls. You are picking a spot, you're seeing a shot, you're visualizing it, and you're trying to match that. So you're not going to have a field practice, which is essentially when you're just hitting balls all over the place, trying to just like, I don't know, it's not very thought out. It's not, you're not really maximizing your time. So that's what I suggest. And I do that now as I've gotten older and I don't really want to be hitting balls all day just because it's, first off, not really good, you know, for the body, especially for a long season. You gotta have days, and when it's hot, like it's getting, you have to have ways to be very focused. If you're putting, you know, do specific drills as far as, you know, make some 10 footers, pick putts that you don't normally love, but go through the whole routine, make sure that you're really, really maximizing what you're doing. Same with chipping, be less just chipping 80 balls.
Right.
You know, that's when people say, how many balls a week do you? It's like, I don't know. I mean, that literally doesn't matter at all. It's all about what kind of process I went through to hit that golf ball. And some days if I'm hitting them really well, you know, if I have a good feeling, I'll hit more than when I'm hitting it really bad, when I'm going to leave or maybe I'm going to go work on something else. So that's a good one. That's a good one for all the young up and coming golfers or people who work a lot and like, don't, you know, maybe you want to go hit balls for 30 minutes and you are trying to get better. That's the way to get better. It's not to just drop all the balls on the mat and just hit as many as you can before you have to go home. It's, you know, think of yardages, think of shots, think of holes that you play at your home course, and then try and play that hole. That'll get you better a lot quicker.
We're running right about the point where we always say something about the time. So we'll do a couple more. I've got one from 4Putt55, and I love this question as well. Shane Max and Joe are, that sounds like a joke. Shane Max and Joe are playing in a charity scramble, and your fourth bails. You have two options to fill the spot, Lacey or Cindy. Who do we take?
Holy cow. No comment.
So
You go first.
Okay, so you gave me a this is great. You gave me a Vokey wedge, obviously a right-handed wedge last week because I don't have any right-handed clubs here. Cindy's got a couple of right-handed clubs that I got her when we first started dating, but the grip on her wedge, I don't know what happened, but it looks like something got it because it's just completely almost melted off. So I gave her your wedge. And she went outside and swung it once, and I was going to video it, and she said, this club's too heavy, and decided not to hit with it. So I'm thinking maybe we go with Lacey here.
Lacey has, like, this fake confidence. Now, she is a good putter. I'll give her the
See,
good
that's
putting.
Huge.
It's huge. I mean, she's still not a better putter than I am, but she's a pretty good putter. Lacey will also tell you she does this with me, and I do actually appreciate when we're practicing because it's kind of funny, and then it locks me in a little bit. But she'll ask me why I didn't hit it closer. Doesn't matter how close I hit it. It could always be closer. And to her point, it's true. Like, I could have done better. But she's trying to push you to be your best while also pushing you not to quit. So I'm not sure she's the best option.
So I went on a trip up to Nova Scotia a few years ago. And we played some golf. Cindy and I went, and we played Highlands Links, which is this unreal golf course up there. And I brought her clubs with us on the trip. She has like a 3-wood and a hybrid and a sand wedge and a putter. And she was riding around in the car, just hanging out, having a couple cocktails, not playing. We go to par 3. I'm like, play, you know, like, you've got your clubs here. Nobody's with us. We're out here by ourselves. She made a bogey, legit.
Nice.
Made a 4. Hit it up by the green. Didn't hit a great chip. Lagged it up there to 3 or 4 feet and made it for 4. And that, I think that's the only hole she's ever played in front of me. And it was a bogey. So
that's really impressive. Good for her. She was good under the lights. I got another question. I know we don't have very many more. I was listening to,
is this last question good, do you think?
No, but I'll do it.
Okay.
I was listening to Shotgun Start podcast done by Brendan Porath and Andy Johnson. They mentioned 90 Day Fiance. Brendan said he doesn't watch it. Andy said that his wife watches it. He doesn't really watch it much. I watch it all the time. It's one of my favorite shows to watch with Lacey. So I DM Andy. I said, dude, you got to watch this 90 Day Fiance. It's amazing. So we started talking about it. One of his questions was, which character on 90 Day Fiance does Max most relate with? Fortunately, for those who watch the show, I don't relate to any of them. Thank goodness. I don't see one similarity in any of them. However, I want to shout out Big Ed on this season's Before the 90 Days. The guy is pure humor, pure comedy every time you turn it on. We found out he used to be super, super, like, not super, super, but pretty jacked. Now, I don't really know what's happened, but he's kind of like a portly man who knows he's portly. He kind of plays into it. He's dating a woman who is from, I forget where, but Philippines. So, and not from a good spot of it, very third world. And the scene from like 2 weeks ago is he's staying at her family's house. He's freaking out. He seems a little more posh than her. And he has to take a shower with her dad so they could save water. And it is just, it's the funniest, it's as good a TV.
Do I need to get into this?
Oh, it's my favorite. So to Andy, I don't relate to any of them, but that's my guy. I'm riding for him.
I mean, I might have to get into this. It's entertaining, right?
And it'll make you feel better about your intelligence because a lot of these people just like are missing the point. They're naive to what's going on. And then the other ones is it's so great when you see it get flipped on the Americans when all the Americans think, oh, they'd be so lucky, I guess, to be with me so they could be in America. And then they get flipped and the other, you know, the person from, you know, the foreign country is like, yeah, I want to break up with you. You're not great. And it's always funny because you're like, yeah, you're not very great. And you're just like using this like green card thing as like essentially like bait and holding it over their heads.
Right.
Like, so it's all around great. It's great TV, and it really is.
So last thing, and this is from Single Putt Al.
You had a 4-putt guy and a single putt guy.
Yeah. I'm going, you know what? Instead of Lacey and Cindy, can we take Single Putt Al?
Yeah. Not on our scramble team, whatever.
So I was a little offended by this question. Should golf ever resume? Would Max consider the Dunhill Links Championship, the one that's played at St. Andrews and Carnoustie and Kings Barnes, with a certain Mr. Bacon on the bag? Now, listen, Max, I am not in any capacity even considered a famous person or a celebrity or anything. But at some point, maybe I could sneak into the room and I could be your partner, right?
I'd love that. So for people who don't know, Dunhill Links was actually supposed to be my first ever pro event. I made a wise decision and didn't do it because I ended up playing the Fries and played really well. But ever since, I've been bummed because I want to play that event really bad. To the person, so yes, the answer is I would consider playing there. I would love it if you were my partner. That would be phenomenal. But I do want to go off the second part of the question, which asks if a certain Mr. Bacon, I'm assuming you, Shane, I don't know very many Mr. Bacons, would be my caddy. And I just can't keep saying this enough on Twitter. I think my caddy's just going to be my caddy.
Yeah,
I think we're working really well together. I don't know why everyone always asks if they can caddy. Like, I'm just going to have Joe, who's one of my best friends, caddy, because he's also a really good caddy. So I would much rather team up with you. So hopefully will work.
If you called me and go, hey, do you want a caddy? I'm gonna fire Joe. I'd go, hey man, don't fire Joe.
The only time I've had Joe not caddy was in Japan, where Stevie F baby caddy for me. And it's pretty much because Joe said, I don't want to go to Japan twice in a month. And I was like, yo, like, I hear you. So it's more on him than on me.
You know what? If Joe ever has to pull out of an event or he's got something going, and you've got to have a caddy, and you asked me to caddy, I would obviously say yes and fly wherever, because I would love to help you out. It'd be fun to do it.
But Shane, well, you might caddy on the wrong side of the ball.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I really did. I thought it was a lot of fun. Did you have fun, Max?
I had fun. I'm really excited to go watch The Last Dance, though. I'm not going to lie.
I know, me too. We were running into Last Dance time. Just a reminder, this Saturday, is it May? I don't remember what month it is. May
2nd,
3 p.m. EDT time, 12 Pacific, 12 in the good time zone, right at noon. Max and I will be watching the 06 U.S. Open. You can follow and watch along. Just go to one of our Twitter handles. It'll be right there. Anything you got going? Anything else?
I'm going to watch The Last Dance. That's all I got going.
The Last Dance is up. You guys have a great week. Enjoy yourselves.
Thanks, Shane. Wash your hands, everybody.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.